DSM.com.
DSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number two of the program here on Friday morning on Kazimierz Pulaski Memorial Day. And if you want to find out what that's all about, you can check out WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Find out who he was and why there's a school named after him in New Bedford and why today is his Memorial Day. Also, maybe you got to see the Aurora Borealis last night. Oh, no, wait, that's the Letters to Cleo album. The Aurora Borealis. Maybe you got to see the northern lights in the sky last night. I did not. Yet again, probably the greatest chance I've ever had to see them. And I was inside bowling. By the time I said, you know what? I'm not doing well this string. I'm just going to go out and I'm going to take a look. They were already over. Plus, I was at Wonder Bowl. What was I really going to see outside of Wonder Bowl? I thought that I might have a shot if I had gone down to the airport, and I figured I'd do that after I was done. But then people said, well, it's already over. So then I go home and then they're like, well, it's going to come back out, you know, like in an hour or so. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to bed. I'm exhausted. So I didn't see it, but I guess maybe it's going to be around tonight. I've seen people saying that that's a possibility. So if that's the case, then maybe I'll get a shot tonight. Maybe I'll hop in the car I don't know where I'll go exactly, but I have some friends that got some really good photos from different places, so maybe I'll say, hey, where'd you go? Saw a great photo of them behind the Plymouth Rock. So maybe that's a good place to go. But again, so the northern lights kind of come in waves. So it's entirely possible that you didn't see them when you were outside because the wave had already passed and the next wave hadn't come through yet. That's entirely possible. But those of you who did take photos, you know, I was living vicariously through you. And Gazelle over at Fun 107 is compiling a big gallery of those photos that we'll have at WBSM.com and the WBSM app later in the day. So just because you missed it, you can also live vicariously through the photos. But I had a friend who said, you know, this, I never thought I would live in a time when I could say I saw the Northern Lights on two separate occasions from my own yard, without having to travel to Iceland to go see them. I mean, I'd still like to travel to Iceland. I heard the whale is delicious. So there's a story from WCVB.com that a student was removed from a school in Danvers for reportedly making a hit list. Now, this has parents very concerned. On the North Shore, it is the Essex North Shore Agricultural and Technical School. The superintendent and the principal of that school sent a note to parents last night in which they said they received reports of a student who made, quote, threatening remarks and who had, quote, created a hit list. The note said that this matter is being taken very seriously by the administration and the Danvers Police Department. At this time, the student in question has been identified. The investigation is ongoing, and the student has been removed from school. School officials said they will be in contact with the families of students who are named on the list. So if your child's name was on the list, you will be contacted by the school to let you know. The note says, our students continue to do the right thing and contact trusted adults when they have concerns. We truly appreciate that this information was brought forward so we could investigate it. Safety is our first priority for both students and staff. Now, parents said that there were 10 names that were on the list and that some of the names were starred with, quote, priority. And a student spoke to WCVB and said, that's scary. There are a lot of shootings going around the U.S., and I don't want it to happen to us. You never know what's going to happen. And according to police, there were actually two students that were involved in creating the list and making threatening remarks. So the students both have been removed from the campus. The mother of one of the accused students said her son meant it as a joke. He had no intentions of harming anybody, she said. He just said that when he was questioned that he didn't mean to do it. He thought it was funny. Not anymore, obviously. And then police are involved in this investigation. So you think it's funny, but you know who doesn't? The other kids in the school, especially the kids whose names are on that list. Now, if this is something where they were kidding and it was all a joke, it's still wrong. It's still just as concerning. But if it wasn't, you know, you got to try to talk to these kids. And you know, it's going to be one thing to want to punish them, and you do want to punish them. But also find out why. Why would they want to put these kids' names on a list? What's going on? What's the dynamic between the kids who created the list and the names that were on it? You know, is this a matter of unpopular kids targeting the popular kids? Is this a matter of, you know, kids in one clique targeting kids in another clique? But it's not enough to just say it's wrong. You got to figure out what the root of the problem is between those kids. And that's the job of the school and the parents, not the police. So I know kids who had it in for other kids when they were in high school. There was one kid, I got along with everybody. There was one kid that I didn't like. And I always said, man, graduation day, as soon as the ceremony's over, I'm jumping that guy. Like, I'm just going to finally let him have it. Tired of him. Never really picked on me. Never really had a problem with me. I don't know, just the way he treated other people, I didn't like it. And then graduation day came, went through the whole thing. I said, man, I don't care about that anymore. Because things were in perspective. Like, yeah, he's probably got his own problems at home and he's taking it out on other people and everybody seems all right for it. But, you know, again, you never know. I was just talking about this last weekend when I was in Sandwich where, you know, I'm telling everybody, oh, you know, I went to middle school in this town. And a few people said to me, oh, really? Middle school here? That must have been tough. And it was. It almost broke me. Being picked on all the time for being the poor kid in a town full of rich kids. For being the kid that wasn't wearing all the latest fashionable clothes and had the name brand sneakers. And, you know, I was an outcast. I only had a small group of friends. I was picked on. And we left there and came to Wareham, and it was almost overnight a different story. My first year in Wareham or so, it was a little bit of an adjustment period. But then after that, I got along with everybody. I had lots of friends. I was one of the more popular kids in school. Everybody knew who I was. Everybody liked me, at least as far as I knew. They didn't tell me if they didn't. So it's amazing that the environment can change everything. Now, I've had some of those kids that picked on me in school, in Sandwich schools, who have reached out to me on social media in the years since and apologized. Listen, I'm really sorry for the way that we treated you. And I always tell them the same thing. I'm like, don't worry about it. Like, first of all, in my mind, there is no individual that stands out as the person who picked on me. And maybe some of the pressures and feelings that I felt of inadequacy and of less than, maybe some of that was self-imposed too. Maybe I went to school and saw everybody in their name brand clothes and Nike sneakers and what else and said, gee, you know, I'm less than them because I don't have that. Maybe some of that was self-imposed. But nobody stands out of my mind as being a person who made my life difficult. It's just the general atmosphere. So I don't blame anybody, and I appreciate them apologizing, but I tell them the same thing all the time. Like, hey, it made me a better person. Because then when I was in a different position of, you know, high school social hierarchy, however you want to put it, I remembered what it was like to be that kid that got picked on and wasn't friends with the popular kid. And I just tried to be friends with everybody. Do we still pick on each other? Of course. But we did that as, you know, we busted on each other all the time in lunch. That's what we did. But we all loved each other. And that's something that, you know, a friend of mine pointed out years later in a conversation we had. He said, what was great about our town as high school kids is that everybody loved each other. And you want to have that kind of community in your school. You don't want to have somebody making a list where they're putting names on, whether it's a joke or not. The fact that there were kids that they felt deserved to be targeted in some way. They can say it's a joke all they want. There's something deeper under there that needs to be examined. It needs to be addressed and it needs to be fixed. Because these kids might not have been looking to hurt someone else, but maybe they got to the point where if this was serious enough, they wanted to hurt themselves. Now, I will say, thankfully, I never had that thought. I mean, I think everybody has the thought at some point of what would happen if I wasn't here. But I never had the thought in my life of life would be better if I wasn't here. That's just the guy blowing the leaves and stuff around the parking lot. But as you know, high school is a trying time for kids emotionally, even if they have the best life in the world. So I would still be concerned that even if these kids are joking, that there might be some underlying issues going on. I'm not saying that they're going to be violent, but they might be depressed. They might be anxious. They might also just be knuckleheads. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Also, I dropped the reference to Aurora Borealis and, Jeff says, is here and now really the time for a Letters to Cleo reference? It's a good one. I like it. Hey, I just want you to want me, you know? We should work more 90s music puns into all of our discussions. I think that would be, we could get it like a prize for the best 90s pun each week. Also, Participation Trophy Wife says she has some good photos from the Northern Lights, but they would dox her house completely. I mean, we do have the technology to be able to alter the photo. We could block out your house. We could actually remove your house. Canva's magic. But also you could just, you know, reframe the photo in Canva too to cut the house out. You also must have a very unique house, I would think. So I think, again, you know, when kids are doing dumb things, my tendency naturally is to say, well, kids are stupid and they do stupid things. But I've kind of learned over time, and certainly having a child myself who is now an adult, made me realize, like, but maybe there's more to it. Maybe it's not just a joke, or maybe it's not, maybe the joke is a deflection somehow. And also, like, listen, it's got to be nerve-wracking for the kids who are on this list, but maybe they also have to say to themselves, well, why would I be on that list? Well, for what reason would somebody target me? So, I don't know. I hope that this is a situation that really is as silly as this parent of one of the suspects wants it to be. But I also hope that they really determine all that out before just moving on from it. 508-996-0500. I'm going to take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments. The laundry on the hill, billboards in the buildings, memories of it still keep calling and calling. But forget it all, I know I will. Tempted by the fruit of another. Tempted by and welcome back in. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And we were talking about that story out of the Danvers area with this hit list that was created by two students who have now been removed from school. So hopefully they can get to the bottom of why that was. Also, in other news yesterday, Ollie's Law, which Senator Mark Montagne had been a big part of pushing, has been signed to protect pets at kennels and boarding facilities. It was signed into law yesterday. And until then, Massachusetts had no oversight for puppy daycare and boarding facilities. The only requirement was that anyone who had more than four dogs at a time had to obtain a kennel license. But now Ollie's Law requires the Massachusetts Department of Agricultural Resources to establish rules and regulations for pet boarding facilities. And it was named after Ollie, a seven-month-old labradoodle that was fatally injured in a fight. And Ollie's owner, Amy Baxter, never got answers from the facility about what happened. So there's been incidents of animal cruelty, animal abuse from people who were taking care of these dogs but were not actual licensed boarding facilities. And there were no rules for that. So there's an app. Oh, what was the name of the app? Can't think of the name of it. I deleted it from my phone after my dog passed away. But there was an app that you could use where, you know, you can find pet sitters on it. Rover. That was it. Rover. The Rover app. You can find pet sitters on it. So if you're going away and you don't want to spend hundreds of dollars to put your dog up at a boarding facility, you would just call and look at somebody who would take care of your dog. And the first time that I did it, I found a young lady who lived in Dartmouth, who had a nice house with a big backyard, had a few dogs of her own. My dog loved to play with other dogs. Hers did too. Brought her over. She got to, you know, I got to meet the other dogs and everything, and it worked out great. She became my dog's sitter. And it cost me $40 a day. And she was well taken care of. This young lady gave Ruby a bath. Gave her treats, you know, treated her like she was her own dog, sent me photos, constantly sending photos, texting me pictures about what she was doing and how much fun she was having, and it was great. Then when I went to go use her again, something happened, and instead of bringing her to this nice house in Dartmouth with a big backyard and all that stuff, I was bringing her to her mom's apartment in Fall River. And it was not the same experience. She passed away a week after she came back from there the second time. I don't think that had anything to do with it, but, you know, whatever. But I don't know what was going on. I wasn't getting the frequent updates. I wasn't getting the frequent photos. So I don't know. I'm not saying there was anything wrong. I'm just saying, as a pet owner, without these standards in place, you have cause for concern. So my dog was also very old and had been declining health-wise. So, although not as much as I wanted to admit. Didn't want to admit she was getting as old as she was. She's only 14, but 14 is very old for the kind of dog that she was. But the idea that there was no oversight for people like that, and I don't mean that in a disparaging way, but I mean people who are just taking your dog into their home and taking care of them for you through an app that aren't a boarding facility. That's like saying that, you know, there's no health standards for an Airbnb. So I think now you've got this law in place. It protects people and it makes people feel better. And I don't think it's going to cause for a lot of changes for the people that are actually doing it. One woman told New England Cable News, "I'm a full kennel and I believe in this law. I think it should be tougher regulations for kenneling, daycare, and dog walking." Now, I think that sounds on the surface like somebody saying, "Hey, listen, like, I'm a full kennel. And even I think this is a good idea because," but what's really, you know, you can really read in the lines behind that is full kennels who have gone through the process of getting licensed, they don't want somebody just coming in and taking over. It's the equivalent of the cab driver, the career cab driver who doesn't like the fact that, you know, now people are taking Uber instead. I'm getting undercut by this app. But when you think about it too, I mean, it's, you probably do more of your due diligence if you're going to leave your dog with somebody for days at a time and when you're not readily available to go and get them. But what about the people who just have someone who comes and walks their dog? There are people who hire dog walkers because they can't physically do it. They're still home. They're with their dog. Someone comes, picks the dog up. They go for a walk. They come home. But what if you don't know what's going on during that process? So I think having better protection and better regulation is a good thing. I don't think it's going to push anybody out of this industry that's probably already doing it if they're doing it right. It'll hopefully push out anybody who's doing it incorrectly. But I don't think it's going to upend what has become an industry. And the fact that we can utilize apps, websites, communities to be able to create these opportunities, this gig economy as they call it, I think is a good thing. I liked driving for Uber. I would never want to be a cab driver for a job, because I like the fact that I could stop at any time that I wanted to and say, that's enough for tonight. That's enough driving. I'm tired and I don't want to be behind the wheel anymore. Or that's enough dealing with people. Or, you know what? I'm hungry. I want to just go get something to eat. Like, I like the freedom that gave you. You do it when you want to do it and you stop when you want to stop. And you can also collect that money instantly. There were times when I was pretty broke, didn't have any money in my pocket, and I would go out and do a few rides and then transfer that into my bank account. So now I can eat. Now I can pay the cell phone bill, whatever it may, you know, whatever the situation may be. Tough time financially for me, so I was looking to do anything I could to make ends meet, and I was also just driving home every day thinking to myself, if I picked up one person, that might pay for the gas that it took me to get to work. And that just turned into a whole, as they call it, side hustle, where I kind of got addicted to the money. At the time, I was working here in the newsroom. I was working from noon to 7 or 8 o'clock at night. So I didn't have to get up until like 10 in the morning. And so I would leave here at 8 o'clock, turn on the Uber app, the Uber driver app, and just go wherever it took me. Usually end up picking up somebody to either be down, somebody that was either in downtown New Bedford or was trying to get to downtown New Bedford. A lot of nights I spent just going back and forth between downtown and UMass Dartmouth. But you never know where it's going to take you. One night I went out to the Swansea Mall and picked up somebody who wanted a ride home. And then that led to me being out in, you know, the Bristol, Rhode Island area. And then I'm picking up college kids. And then I'm going to, and the next thing you know, I'm in Newport. And you just never knew where it was going to take you. And you go out there, you talk to some people, you have some weird experiences that make for good stories later. And, and by the way, there's $300 now extra in your bank account. It was great. I wouldn't do it now. First of all, my car is too old now. But also, just too tired all the time. But it was fun. We're also talking about like 2018, 2019, so. The world was different back then. But I get it. I'm sure there are people who are sitting at home and thinking to themselves, hey, I'm home on the weekends, or I work from home, or I don't need to work because of my, you know, family's financial situation. But you know what? I like taking care of dogs. I like having dogs. I'm gonna take care of people's dogs. If I was home, I'm not ready to get a pet again. If I was home all the time, I'd say, you know what? Maybe I would do that. Because then you get to have a dog for a little while and you don't have all the responsibility of a dog. Yeah, I'll watch your dog when you're out of town. Yeah, I'll come and walk your dog, sure. And then you can always say no if you don't want to. So I get it. I think these opportunities are good things. Now, there's also the potential for people to be used in those situations where the people behind the apps aren't always paying them fairly and treating them fairly, but you know that's all getting worked out over time. But you're giving people the opportunity to do something that they like to do when they want to do it for money. That's a good thing. Most people that complain about their jobs, their biggest complaint is the time suck that it is and having to be there. And they say things like, you know, if I could just do what I needed to do and get it done when I wanted to get it done, be more about results than it was about reporting to work every day, I'd be a lot happier. And that's what those kind of jobs allow you to do. You know, I'm fortunate that outside of having to be here for these 3 hours every morning, I can come and go as I please as long as I get done the things I need to get done. Not everybody has that kind of freedom in their job. And that's why people get burnt out, because they're tied to that desk or they're tied to that location. But also that being said, if you're going to create these opportunities, you got to have some oversight. You got to have some regulation. That's why I think this Ollie's Law is a good thing. And as I said, I don't really think it's going to push anybody out of that industry that's involved in it, except for the bad people that don't want to follow the rules. 508-996-0500, app chat, open line voicemails. We'll be back in just a few moments. Who's going to tell you things aren't so great? Can't go on thinking nothing's wrong. What else? Who's gonna drive you home tonight? And welcome back in. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
What's shaking, Playboy?
What's happening?
Hey, not much. So I remember, I'm going to say like 97, being able to see the Aurora Borealis down here. in Las Vegas. You know how far down here that was. That was just it was just after the Phoenix Lights incident happened. So take that what thing.
All right, how far out of the city limit? Well, how far away from the Strip did you have to be to see it?
I was living wasn't that far from the Nellis Air Force Base.
Okay.
And so let's say I was closer to downtown where the lights are at than I was to Nellis, but I was close enough. You know, so I could walk out, so I could go out on my balcony and I could see Nellis from where I lived.
So you don't have a lot of light pollution in your area from.
It's getting worse, but you can still see the lights. Now, if I was up by the house where we were living up beforehand, I would have been able to see it really good. But I saw it pretty clearly though afterwards. You know, just there, it was nice to see. And it was like it was telling the kids, look at all this kid, see this? See, look, you better watch out for the bumble. He's gonna come looking for you guys. You better be good. You know, they're the bumble, right? You know, the bottomless snow beast from the north. You know, so from
bumble,
you know,
bumbles bounce.
Exactly. Didn't you know that? Yay. So that was kind of wonderful to think. And I had a whole bunch of kids like looking out there, their parents stuff and this, like something. I remember, let's say maybe 10 years ago, I remember some of those kids, a couple of kids from one family that I remember, we've thought about that ever since that one night we saw the northern lights come down this way. We thank you for making us pay attention to it. You know, like something that hopefully you can tell our kids when our kids get big enough to enjoy it. So bring them around, I'll show them. And so I'll show them the lights, you know, and pretend like I'm going to knock them out, but I wouldn't knock anybody out, no kids at least. And so I remember when I used to, I was doing massage work, I would charge people $4 to $5 an hour. And I would just I'd have people to come in. They'd have like friends or relatives come from out of town. And I'd sit, I'd take and do all of them, do one in one room, another one there. And like I do five people. And mind you, they'd be all sleeping by the time I'm done. And I like that. I like putting people to sleep. I tell people, I give them an opportunity. One, put you to sleep in 5 minutes, or do you want to stay up for a while to enjoy it, or do you want to put you to sleep later on? And a lot of people say, oh, do what you have to do. And like they said, they wind up finding themselves snoring. So I'd have people that I would normally see, and they would like, I'd put them to sleep with stuff and get my stuff ready, and I'd go ahead and leave and lock the door. Because they, you know, they'd tell me like, you know, no, trust me enough to where like they know if I'm there. You know, I'd close my shrug, the door was closed when I left. So that was good with that. I didn't have a problem with that. I felt, it made me feel good knowing that I was able to help somebody feel better, enjoy themselves. Like I said, I'm pretty good. I like that. That's one thing I can say. I really enjoy doing that, seeing the people, seeing the expression, like how amazing that is. I know this one lady would come out, and I do her and a lot of her friends and stuff that are in businesses. So she came down out here with her husband. So I guess her husband was thinking some kind of a freaky deaky thing going on. But it wasn't though. So he came out, I put him to sleep too. He was like, damn, that was good. He's like, can we take him home with us, honey? And like I said, you know, but it's, you know, and it took a lot more than just a drink to get me home with him. So just letting you know. But it was fun back then. And I enjoyed that. That's, you know, like I said, if I have an opportunity to make somebody feel better or give somebody something positive to think about, you know, like I said, what's wrong with that?
Sure, yeah. You know, now, do you know how I put people to sleep?
I could just imagine.
Well, usually with this show, but also I put them in the million-dollar dream.
Ooh.
Million-dollar man's sleeper hold.
Is Virgil there? Is Virgil there?
No, he's he's off being lonely.
Oh, you know by what happened to him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of, and you see, you figured, like, oh, he's supposed to be the million-dollar man, didn't do anything. You know, mind you, he had a church and stuff like that, Ted DiBiase, and he was still ripping people off left and right. What's up with that? I like Ted DiBiase. He was a nice dude when I was a guy in wrestling. He was cool with me. But like I said, you know, but sometimes we have some people when they get all that power under them, not just the knowledge, whatever, when they get that holier than thou kind of power under them, they don't know how to act. And I think that's sad.
I heard a rumor, I don't know if it's true, but I heard a rumor, it could just be, you know, a joke within the wrestling community, but that when Virgil passed earlier this year, they buried him in the sleeveless glittery tuxedo vest that he used to wear.
I think he sold that. He sold that because it was hurting for money.
I think they might have got it back to bury him in it. That's what I heard.
You know what? I can find out for you, and I can let you know later. I'll send you.
Yeah, either that or they might have just had somebody make one. You know what I mean?
It wouldn't be that hard.
No, especially.
I know he sold it. I know that he had somebody who was hurting for money. So did you ever see him like at signing autographs? He was all by himself.
The whole Lonely Virgil meme, became a whole thing.
And that's crazy. Like I said, it's like, at least, you know, like I said, you know, some people can appreciate, you know, the whole thing about it was, you know, they named him Virgil. They gave him that name, right?
Yeah, as a rib on Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah, Virgil. Virgil Ronald. A lot of people don't realize Virgil Ronald was also a baseball player that played in the major leagues. That's the actual Runnels, you know, Virgil Runnels. Oh. He's related to him. So, yeah. And, you know, Dusty Rhodes, like I said, he's as black as they come, you know, just a little paler. And if you notice, like Cody, he's got a little black in him. His mother is Hispanic.
Yeah, I mean, and he's been embraced by the black community. So there was just an article about that the other day, and he was commenting on it. He said, you know, if they want to support me, I'll take it. It was not something I set up for. And Cody's wife is African American too.
Sasha Banks.
No, that's not his wife.
His wife, they look similar,
but his wife is Brandy. I got to hold you there, Lamone. I got to take this final break of the hour.
So soon? I haven't talked to you all week.
You've been on the phone for like 10 minutes. I got to hold you there, though.
All right, then. Well, you know that, you know Phil's in town, right?
Oh, he's out there visiting you?
Not visiting me. I'm saying, I don't want to lie and say he's here. I'm just throwing it out there.
Sure. You know, I'll say, if he's out there, show him a good time, but make sure he makes it back in time to come back to work Wednesday.
Well, Wednesday. Got more than enough time to have fun.
All right.
Maybe he'll come back married with a big booty black stripper for a girlfriend
just,
or wife.
Just don't put him to sleep.
I'll try not to.
All right. Have a good weekend, sir.
Okay. Have a good weekend, everybody. God bless everybody up in the New Bedford area.
All right.
And I'm hoping that it sure beats Old Bedford area. You know, so God bless.
All right. I'll
see you guys soon.
Take it easy.
I was asking you about that dude.
I got to hold you there. We'll save it for Monday.
There's a ghost.
Save it for Monday.
Oh. All right. No spooky this weekend?
No spooky this weekend. I have an event in Salem tomorrow night.
Oh, congratulations, Mr. Witchy-Poo. All right. Play on, player. God bless. Everyone.
All right, that is Lamone in Las Vegas. We got to take a break. We'll be right back. Welcome back in. We are going to go into the news in just a moment. We'll come back. We'll talk more with you at 508-996-0500. But a reminder, this is a big football game. Not only are the last place Patriots, the 1-4 Patriots, taking on the 4-1 AFC South leading Houston, Texas this Sunday at Gillette Stadium, it will also be the first NFL start for Drake May. The Patriots rookie quarterback is going to get his shot and trying to see if he can shake up this offense and do something to get the Patriots back on track. The game will be right here on WBSM. Kickoff at 1 p.m. with pregame beginning at 10 a.m. You can hear the game here on 99.5 FM, 1420 a.m. And then if you want to hear our regular Sunday programming, you can hear that on the WBSM app and streaming at WBSM.com. The New England Patriots are here all season long right here on WBSM. So maybe this turns the tide. Maybe this will be the start of the Drake May era. And it'll be, I mean, it sounds like from what Gerard Mayo was saying, it's not just for the now, it's for the future as well. Like they...